We're joined now by WWE champ and friend of the show, Kofi Kingston.
Yes.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Fantastically well. How are you?
Oh, we are great. Oh, yeah. Look at the size, weight, girth, and bling of that thing.
You brought the hardware.
I had to, you know? Yeah.
Does that travel with you wherever you go?
Everywhere.
I was just making a joke about it. On the subway,
you know, carry on. We were joking that this is like the biggest first world problem ever to have like a heavy, my bag so heavy because I have to carry this in my bag, in my carry on. But, you know, it's a good problem to have.
All right, Kofi, tell me what it means to you and the WWE superstar roster to have SmackDown be moving to Fox. It's a new chapter.
Yeah.
You guys are ready to go. How exciting is that for
everyone? It's so exciting. It's awesome. I feel like WWE and Fox, like we mess. We go very well together, hand in hand. We're all really excited about it. SmackDown's going to be the biggest that it's ever been, and to be at the forefront of all of that, it's awesome for all of us.
So after the debut Friday Night SmackDown, then on October 11th, there's a draft.
Yeah.
And this is something I'm super excited for. Take us behind the scenes about the WWE draft that's going to be going on, what people can expect.
Yeah. So the funny thing is that, like, us as superstars, we don't know where we're actually going. Like, they never tell us where we're going. Oftentimes, I don't know if they even know. But it's like a real draft between, like, Raw and SmackDown, you know? I know, like I said, I'm excited. I got my fingers crossed because SmackDown is, like, new and fresh and on Fox, so I'm hoping to be there. But honestly, being on Raw too, like it'll be all good either way. But it's something that we always look forward to. You know, it's a real competition between us and the people on Raw. We actually try to have like a competition to have like the best show possible, and that makes both of the shows so well. You know, it makes them so good.
As the current WWE champ, you face a guy I'm very familiar with, Brock Lesnar, Minnesota. That was my team. He tried out for the Vikings. And also, you guys faced each other in 2015. He got the best of you.
Bringing up bad stuff.
I want to talk about old stuff. Look, I've grown, man.
With SmackDown and this being the 20th anniversary with all the hype, let's get to the fundamentals of it. What do you have to do to be able to come away with the win?
You know what? It's a thing where so my whole like motif has always been to push yourself. To get this WWE title, it took me 11 years to get to this point. And one of my favorite quotes is, at the top of a mountain is the bottom of another mountain. So Brock Lesnar is the next mountain to climb. You know, I really feel like you should always challenge yourself no matter how high you get. You know what I'm saying? Like you're never at the top. You're never, you know, you always want to be the best. So beating somebody like Brock Lesnar for me would solidify this championship reign as something incredible, you know, and it's been magical so far.
Here's what I love about the WWE, and I don't know nearly as much as these two do, but fans love who they love for whatever reason they want, and they latch on and they follow them through. This Kofi mania, tell me, why do you think fans have taken such a liking to you and this persona and everything and whoever you are when you're out there?
Yeah, it's been, like I was saying, it took me legitimately 11 years to even get a shot at the WWE Championship. And it kind of happened like out of fate. Someone got hurt. I got put into their position, you know, and eventually like the fans just started building this momentum. And like I'm getting goosebumps even thinking about
that's
it because
awesome.
Like that's what we as performers like strive for. Obviously what we do is entertainment, but we strive to have people forget about all of that. You get lost in the storyline and the storytelling, and my story has been an 11-year struggle where anybody who's ever struggled can identify with, and that's what happened. Everyone just built that momentum to WrestleMania, and like you said, it's not cool when I say Kofi Mania,
right?
But you know, they renamed WrestleMania Kofi Mania, and it was just an amazing experience.
You got hurt, and it gave you your big chance. Kind of reminds you of how the quarterback of your favorite team. You're from Boston,
that's right?
That's right. Tom Brady got his chance. Patriots,
he did.
You got him this year or no?
Yeah, I got him every year.
Kofi.
No.
He's scared.
I'm worried about the Chiefs.
I was wondering, like, why
you
would even
ask that. That's a bad question.
Okay.
That's what I mean. Like, okay. I mean, is it a rhetorical? I thought it was a trick question.
Okay. Jenna and her household, they feel the same way.
That's my Super Bowl pick.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So you're not worried at all?
Never. I'm never worried with Tom Brady behind the helm. Not really. Even last year, you know, in the playoffs against the Chiefs, everybody thought, you know.
I'm just saying, you know.
Last year, everybody was worried. I'm like, no, we got touchdown Tom Brady at the captain.
Offside,
he's the captain of the ship, you know. So come on, man.
Kofi, we're so excited.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Congrats,
we'll be watching Friday night on Fox. Much appreciated, and all the best to you.
Thank you so much.
Don't leave that here. Yes.
Oh, he ain't gonna
leave. You get a hand on it too. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
feel the weight.
It's got
the
girth.
Don't
diss him,
Kate. Feel the girth.
Vikings, not the way they wanted to start their season. Last place in the division after falling to the Bears Sunday. Their quarterback has been exceptionally average, and their offense has been anemic, averaging the second fewest passing yards per game in the league. Pro Bowl wide receiver Adam Thielen knows this offense needs to get better and fast.
At some point, you're not going to be able to run the ball for 180 yards, even with the best running back in the NFL. And that's when you have to be able to throw the ball. You have to be able to make plays. You have to be able to, hit the ball, the deep balls. You have to do that because otherwise it's too easy for teams to just tee up and rush the quarterback. So we have to be able to run the ball and pass the ball. In this league, you cannot be one-dimensional.
CeCe, you don't have to read between the lines. You just have to read the lines. He's basically telling you, he's calling out his quarterback, Kirk Cousins. What's your reaction to what Thielen had to say?
Well, I don't think he's calling out his quarterback, Jenna, because when you're playing team sports, at the beginning and end of the day, it's about each person doing their job. Last two seasons, the offensive line hadn't been very, very good. In the Chicago game, they weren't very good. The line had improved in the first three games, but they got exploited in Chicago. It was a mismatch going against Chicago. And you know going against Chicago twice a year, Green Bay and Detroit, what they present, how can you compete with the elite teams if that unit is that weak? So I know he wasn't calling out the quarterback, but they want to be more productive. These guys are used to catching 100 balls, having 1,000-yard seasons. Like, they have been the juice in this offense the last couple years. And they thought when Kirk Cousins came there, their jobs would get easier. And Dalvin Cook, once he got healthier, that, man, we got an explosive offense. Got Kyle Rudolph at tight end. He's a good tight end. Used a first-round draft pick on Irv Smith Jr. from Alabama. He's going to be a star in this league. So they have all the surrounding things. But when you don't throw the ball and you look at the stat sheet after the game, you ask the wide receiver, he told you exactly the truth. We can't throw the ball. Kirk Cousins didn't have time to throw the ball in this game. Now, do they choose in some other games to decide to run the ball compared to throwing it? Yes, that's been their philosophy. We're going to take some of that stuff away from Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is not a great quarterback. They didn't sign him to be a great quarterback. And now that all these other quarterbacks are making more money than him, at $28 million, you get what you pay for. He's going to throw for 4,000 yards. Can he beat those big teams in prime time? Those are the question marks. And to me, that offensive line has still not improved enough to be able to take some of that pressure off of Kirk Cousins and put it on them up front. We saw Andy Dalton last night. Well, if you can't throw the ball, you don't have a chance. And in the Chicago game, they did not have a chance.
And if Thielen's talking about one play specifically where Cousins did have a chance, it was early in the game, down 7-0. He has a clean pocket. He steps into the throw, and Thielen's wide open up the sideline, and Cousins just missed him. It would have been a touchdown, and they've got to connect on those opportunities because they are going to be few and far between because, to Chris's point, only Daniel Jones has been pressured on a higher percentage of dropbacks than Kirk Cousins. But good offensive line, mediocre offensive line, bad offensive line, these are the numbers. Kirk Cousins in his career is 5-27 against teams with a winning record. That's horrible. When you said primetime games, he's 4-13 in primetime games. Those games are usually against good teams and obviously the biggest stage. Right now this season, he's 23rd or worse in the NFL in rating touchdowns and yards. In touchdowns, he's tied with Josh Allen, Mitch Trubisky, and Daniel Jones. In rating, he's behind Joe Flacco and Andy Dalton. He's been really bad. They don't need him to be great. I agree with Chris. They have a great defense. They have a pair of excellent wide receivers. They have a potentially great running back. But they need him to be at least slightly above average, and this year he has not been. And he right now, along with the offensive line, is the biggest problem with this team. There is not a reason that the Vikings couldn't be a better version of the Bears. They don't have as good of a defense as the Bears, but it's relatively close, and they have way better offensive weapons. They have better running back, better wide receivers. Their quarterback is not right now playing any better than Mitch Trubisky was, and that's a huge problem at any salary. Don't care about the salary. At any salary, this would be a problem for the Vikings. The reason the salary matters is because of it, he's going to be the quarterback next year as well because that salary is fully guaranteed.
Well, I know you don't – right now he doesn't get paid as much as other quarterbacks. And, yes, the money's not an issue anymore, but he was brought in to be a difference maker on this team. They were very close year after year. He was brought in to take them over the top. If it's not really just on Kirk Cousins, what do you do if you're the Vikings? How do you make
the Vikings
change?
The Vikings are in a tough spot. They've been trying to revamp that offensive line. And they spent some draft picks on it. We can't overreact to Chicago. Chicago's going to make a lot of teams look bad. But if you look at, if you take the Chicago game away, the Atlanta game is not an NFL game. They ran over Atlanta. That game was over with. They only threw the ball, what, 10 to 12 times?
10 times.
So
and
they didn't
won
need
the game,
to. So if they get a call, they called them for a pick, Dalvin Cook, in the Green Bay game. They get a touchdown down there at the game. They might win that game. Are we still talking about that? So the Vikings season, let's not overreact. Chicago is going to make a lot of people look bad. The offensive line has improved. We didn't see that improvement in the game. Let's just see how the season goes. Their defense is going to be good. Dalvin Cook has been outstanding. But they don't have a chance if they can't throw the ball. If they can't throw the ball with the wide receivers that they have, because their wide receivers are elite. All right, we talk about them as one of the best two pairs that we have in the NFL. A lot is on Cousins, but let's not overreact. There's still only four games into the season.
And it's just such a brutal division because there's not a walkover. We thought Detroit was going to be bad. Thus far this year, they haven't been bad. It's one of the most difficult divisions in the league in the tougher of the two conferences. Right now, you only have one, two, three teams in the NFC. Three teams in the NFC with a losing record. So 2-2 ain't no good in the NFC this year. 2-2 in the AFC, you are living. In the NFC, you're beating the Cardinals and the Falcons, and that's about it. So it can get late early for Minnesota if they don't get their passing game short away.
Look who's here, joined now by WWE superstar Charlotte Flair.
Welcome.
Hey, Charlotte.
Welcome.
Thank you. I got the ultimate blessing from Charlotte when Nick made a little smart aleck comment, and she goes, go ahead, just smack him. I mean, boy, would I love to sometimes.
I appreciate that.
Just thought I'd let you know. She doesn't know the full flair of Nick Wright. All right, so Charlotte, great news. SmackDown returning to coming to Fox this Friday. The excitement, the festivities, everything leading up to it has been incredible. You can see everywhere you've been. Tell me a little bit about what the lead-up has been like for you from the inside with everybody.
So the anticipation, I've talked about it all summer, how WWE is moving to Fox, but for me, it's the perfect partnership, entertainment and sports, and in my opinion, no one does sports and entertainment better than WWE. And then myself talking about the women's evolution and bringing that to Friday nights and the change that we've made in the company, hoping that that transitions to different industries. It's so exciting, and I am honored to be here.
All right, so during the 20th anniversary celebration on Fox, you and Becky Lynch are teaming up against Bayley and Sasha Banks.
I mean, if we can get along.
Right, well, so that is going to be the question.
Okay.
So I think you guys, if we were going to put odds on it, you guys would be the favorites if you can get along. Do you think you and the wrestler known as The Man are going to be able to do it? How do you see that going?
100%. But what's so cool about Friday is the four of us started together, and to know that over the last 6 years, we've built this incredible legacy for the women with all the women from the past and the present, and we're debuting on Fox. It's huge.
So this summer, you made history. You headlined the first ever main event at WrestleMania. We talked about, because we've had a couple of the headliners in WWE there.
Yes.
We've talked about the evolution of women. What do you think about your role? Because I grew up with your dad being one of my heroes. I mean, he was
Charlotte's dad?
Yeah,
no, I'm just kidding.
Dad.
I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I mess with him all
see,
the time.
No, and the thing about it is, my son, he's a professional football player. Yeah. My daughter, she works in pro sports. So I do understand. But what do you personally feel as far as this women's division being created and you being a huge part of that?
So I think for me, when I first started, the biggest message was I was known for my talent. I wasn't known for my looks. I was known for my size, my athleticism, what I could do in the ring. And when you watched me, you weren't watching a woman. It was a male or female. And that, to me, is what made me stand out in the beginning was I'm the best athlete in WWE.
Well, that's what I was to jump in real quick. You were watching a great athlete, and that was, we talked to Stephanie McMahon about this, is the rebranding, removing the Divas title, removing, because there was at one point in time, there was an un questioned sexual component to the way they presented female wrestlers.
Well, we're secondary storylines.
Right. It was all
eye candy.
Absolutely. Yeah. And now you guys headline main events. You do backflips off the top turnbuckle. And I'll say this. You said Charlotte's dad. Listen, Ric Flair is one of the all-time greats. You're a much better athlete than your dad ever was. Your dad's come on.
My dad's the best, but don't get me wrong. But it's the fact that the women were given an opportunity, and we took that opportunity and we over-delivered time and time again. And because of the audience, the company listened. So they gave us, you know, that chance. But, you know, the women now just want to go, we're just not divas. We're superstars. And there was nothing wrong to me with being a diva, because I was like, okay, I can be this, you know, athlete, strong, confident woman and be a diva. But it was just more, okay, hey, we're putting more focus on the women. So they rebranded the title. Mm-hmm. And when I won that title at WrestleMania 32, I've never felt more accomplished in my entire life, because it was a message to everyone saying, no, the women can main event, the women can take over, and the women can run this company that's a male-dominated world, and it's not male-dominated
anymore. Do you feel a personal responsibility because your athleticism, because with this big event, as far as how many young ladies out there will get an opportunity after seeing you?
Absolutely. It's just more saying that you can do anything you set your mind to, and the ones who have the, when I used to say I'm going to main event WrestleMania, people would say, you're crazy. Like, I'm crazy? Oh, no, you're fooling yourself. I'm not fooling myself. No, I'm going to main event WrestleMania. So the message is, the ones who have these dreams that people are scared to say, or they're like, oh, I'm a little embarrassed to say that, are the ones that make these incredible opportunities happen.
Why do you think, Charlotte, WWE is such a broad appeal, that there's this new generation of fans that are now coming on board and they find that it's so relatable? Why do you think that is?
It's family friendly, and our most important role is to put smiles on people's faces. And when you come to the show, there is something for everyone, for the grandmother that's 77, for the child that's 7 years old. I mean, it's just all entertainment plus sports. And what makes us so special moving to Fox is we control the cliffhanger. We control that last touchdown. We control, you know, whether that team's winning or that team's losing, and whether we're going to make you happy or sad. And that's, I don't know, that's what we do best.
Well, after the 20th anniversary edition this Friday, the following Friday, there's a draft. And I'm rooting for you to get drafted by the SmackDown side. I know either side's great. Yeah. You'd be happy either one, but we hope Fox gets you on the SmackDown side.
Fingers crossed.
Charlotte, thank you so much. The Patriots' all-time leader in points, Steven Gostkowski, has not been himself this season, missing 4 extra points. We might have a reason why. New England placed the all-pro kicker on IR yesterday, as he'll undergo season-ending hip surgery. Add him to the litany of injuries on this already depleted Patriots roster. Pat safety Devin McCourty knows what this loss means for the team.
He's meant a lot to this team, obviously, for the whole time I've been here. And obviously, you see a lot of that in the record books and all of that, where he has a lot of records for this franchise. But I always speak on how much he means to the locker room. Always keeping it light. He's the best at every little, like, thing and tournament we do in the locker room. So he'll definitely be missed throughout the year, just having his presence in there.
CeCe, I know there's something to next man up, but does it really not apply when it comes to a kicker who's been as consistent as Gostkowski's been?
When I go through the 53-man roster, and Belichick is the best in the business, yes, if he gets a journeyman left guard, can he show him some things technique-wise, him and Dante Scarnecchia? Or have they had another player in a similar situation that they can adapt to and show him some things that, you know something? He's not that good. We'll have a left tackle help him. We'll have a fullback in the game to be able to help him. We'll bring another tight end to be able to help him. We'll do a lot of smoke and mirrors where people won't know. You can't attack that guy. We're not going to drop Brady back 50 times. Every position on the team Belichick can do that for, except the kicker. Because the kicker, outside the long snapper and the holder, he's a man on the island. He is by himself. So all that intel, all that knowledge that Belichick has that he puts into winning every single game, he's not going to be able to help. You said some of the kickers that he's been there?
Oh, since
the kickers they're trying out.
Oh, Blair Walsh is one of them.
How's he going to scrub their brain? Because all of them got awful memories as far as being a kicker in this league.
It's why they're unemployed. I mean, listen.
The reason they're not on a team
anymore. There are 32 teams in the league. I think there's probably 75 people that have the athleticism, the requisite leg talent to be a quality NFL kicker. There's only about 15 that have the talent to go along with the mentality. The mind is what ruins kickers is they get in their own head. It's not usually that I just can't. 45 mm-hmm. is his limit. Once mm-hmm. you, if you are in NFL tryouts, it means in tryouts you look great. I'm sure almost mm-hmm. all these guys are going to try out and they're going to look great. The reason the Patriots, one of the reasons, they've been so fortunate and so successful over such a long period of time is they have gone essentially uninterrupted with two all-time greats mentally at that spot.
And Belichick has made special teams a priority.
Yes.
That's where Urban Meyer learned about special teams being a priority. That's where Nick Saban learned about special teams being a priority, knowing that if I can win that third of the game, that's why he has left-footed punters. No one else got left-footed punters. Why? Because the spin of the ball. He knows it gives him an advantage with guys returning it because they're not used to seeing that. So his overall intel and the lack of being able to, I can't help this guy after I sign him. And then the other thing, what about Patriot Nation? You, Jenna, your spouse, your partner, you guys cheer for the Patriots on a regular basis. What about when the kicker trots out there and he misses a kick? Do we throw our arms around him? I know when Josh Gordon came, oh, the Patriot Nation threw their arms around him. What about AB a couple weeks ago in Miami? Mm-hmm. All those Patriot fans. So it becomes very, very difficult for this player. Is he the one going to cost them a championship? Like, this is an important position on the team, and they've dominated with special teams for years. So for me, this is problematic.
We think of Adam Vinatieri as a longtime pet. Adam Vinatieri played 10 years for the New England Patriots. Steven Gostkowski's been there for 14. They have played more games in the last 20 years without Tom Brady than they have without either Vinatieri or Gostkowski as their kicker.
Wow.
They have more experience. If you heard that Brady was out for the season, they'd be cooked. But if you heard Brady is going to be out a few weeks, they have things to go to that have been successful, either the year he blew his ACL or the year he was suspended. Both years, 11-5 and 3-1, those 2 years, so they went a combined 14-6 in those 20 games without Tom Brady. They have things they can go to. The kicker, you're just hoping. And this is where, come the playoffs, the Ravens and the Chiefs are probably, I think, 3-2-1. Most people have it ranked as far as Ravens, Chiefs, Patriots, or maybe have Patriots, Chiefs flipped. The Ravens have the most accurate kicker in NFL history, Justin Tucker. The Chiefs have the most accurate kicker of the last 4 years, Harrison Butker. The Patriots had the most accurate kicker of the last 15 in Steven Gostkowski. Now they got a guy. And when you're trying to win games, how did they beat the Bills? Great special teams, block punt, not necessarily great kicking, and defense. Now that element is I don't want to say it's gone, but it's a question mark. And you mentioned we've talked about so many injuries to the Patriots. There's an element of the Patriots are like the NFL's supervillain. And even in the horror movies, you lop off enough body parts and eventually Freddy Krueger can't come and get you.
Yeah. Like they become normal.
The left arm might have been the center. Mm-hmm. The right arm might have been Isaiah Wynn. Well, now all of a sudden they've lost both legs. And I'm just curious Patriot magic they can do with the kicker position.
And when you take the kicker out of it, it affects more than just special teams. Now all of a sudden the offense changes a little. Now all of a sudden you're going forward on fourth down. Now all of a sudden your whole scheme changes when you approach a game. Am I right?
You're so right. But if the offense does decide to go for it because they don't have a kicker that's dependable, what kind of message does that send to the kicker? Like, the kicker is not the most mental, tough guy in the locker room. A lot of reason why we don't say anything to him. The coach tell you, the kicker missed a kick, don't you say nothing. Carter, shut your mouth, because I will say something spicy to him. You getting paid this week? Just on my way by him.
Of course.
On to the cafeteria. They are not the same. So does it change the approach of Brady and the offense, Josh McDaniel? Once we cross the 50, Jenna, do we get more aggressive? That's a real question now without having that dependable, oh, that's 3 points. Because Belichick, he prides himself on playing games the right way. And when you don't know if your kicker, what he's going to do, how do you respond to that?
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. And catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.